Lesson number 18, Psalm 91, The Secret Place of the Most High. My name is Case Hook, and I live in the Seattle area of the United States of America. I was married for 36 years to a wonderful wife, Elsie, who loved her God too much. She died now 14 years ago from a cancer in her brain. But the last year of her life, I fought with all my heart for her life, especially relying on God and crying out to Him for help. I was devastated when I heard the news of her impending death, and she had her surgery within a few days. I remember well the night after this surgery, as I woke up at 3 a.m. I raised my hand and index finger to heaven and cried out loud, "Jesus, you must come and lay your hands on her and she will be healed." And you know, big surprises will come to us from our God when we cry out with all our heart. Doesn't our God make us a wonderful promise of His nearness to Him when we cry out to Him with all our heart? I am reminded of a favorite of mine in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God says there, "For I know the thoughts I have toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. You will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord." Well, I then said to Jesus, "But if you cannot come, then put yourself in someone else and make him lay hands on her, and she will be healed." That night, our pastor and his church council came by in the hospital for prayer, and we worshiped our God in many songs. Then Pastor prayed for her, and I laid my hand on my wife's big bandage on her head, and suddenly I could feel power flow out of my hand. It was something I had never experienced before, and now I thought that I was imagining this. But when I came home late that night, my younger son came from his bed and said, "Dad, I don't understand this, but God urged me to give you 3 words. And I just do not understand, but here they are. Jesus has come." Then I cried, as I knew that God had answered a prayer that I had cried out to Him in despair that early morning. I told everyone who came visiting Elsie, as I was too excited and too full of expectation. 2 days later, as Elsie was beginning to speak, she told me the rest of the story. During that pastor's prayer, she told me she had seen a brilliant white light standing behind me, the size of a man. And when she had turned to see it better, it had disappeared into the wall behind her. She also thought that she was imagining what she saw. But then Jesus appeared once more to her on the other side of the bed, and she had turned her head very quickly. But it had disappeared into the wall equally fast. We cannot easily hear from the Lord with our spirits because we are so wounded of heart. But when we cried out loud to Him, He made us find Him. Isn't that wonderful? She should have died within 3 months, the surgeon had warned us. But 5 months later she was, with joy and gladness, still tending the flowers in her garden. The illness did come back, however, and she died of it on April 11, 1998. At that moment, the sun was rising in Jerusalem on Easter morning, over the place where our Lord Jesus rose from the grave almost 2,000 years earlier. And I cried again as I realized how precious Elsie is in the sight of our Lord. Later I found these beautiful words in Psalm 116, verse 15 through 17. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maid servant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Yet I was devastated having to live without my wife. And the next day I said, you are a strange God. You took away the dearest I had, and now I love you 20 times more. How do you do that? Father, this last year, you gave us everything we asked you for. But why did you not give me her life? It was then that I suddenly could hear him loud and clear in a way I had not expected. You loved her more than me, and I have always wanted to use you. Now I was embarrassed, because I could still remember a strong tug in my heart when I was young. A tug to serve God in a direct way. And I said, I am so sorry, Lord. I will be there for you all the way. And, Elsie, half the souls that will come to Jesus through what I will be ministering to the Lord are to your credit. And my life has never been the same anymore. And even though I had just lost my wife to the Lord, the best years of my life were just about to begin. But I had a very hard heart. You know, we may love our God a lot, and yet not be capable of serving him effectively due to hardness of heart. I had so much anger and rage inside of my past, and I was just not aware of it. God had to heal my heart first. He cannot do that, however, until we become aware of our own problems and start asking him for help. In my case, he allowed so much trouble to come my way that I became willing to be taught the principles of inner healing of the heart. Then I asked him for the first time ever to show me some painful memories from the past of my life. And to my surprise, there was so much, so very much. And then I needed to forgive one person after another for how they had wounded me, and even those who I had always judged to have wounded me. But it was my own bitter judging. Oh, how I had to discover how wicked my own heart was. In a year's time, much cleaning of my heart happened that I could never have done myself. As I was forgiving many people, even God, as he unrightly had been judged by me so many times, I began feeling more relaxed and at ease. Even my sleep became peaceful, without having all the time lots of fighting and beatings going on in my dreams. I could then, for the first time, understand what Jesus meant when he said, "My yoke fits well on your shoulders, and my burden is light." I also began being fruitful in helping people come to Jesus. King David had cried out to God also when he was found out with a terrible sin. That's when he wrote Psalm 51, and here it is, part of it that is. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not remove your Holy Spirit from me, but restore in me the joy of your salvation. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted." Do some of you maybe know this old English church hymn? If so, sing it along with me. "Great is your faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with you. You just don't change. Your compassions, they fail not. As you have been, you forever will be. Great is your faithfulness, great is your faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, your hand hath provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. All I have needed, your hand hath provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me." Items to discuss. One at a time, okay? Would you like to talk for a while about my testimony that I shared with you now? Do some of you sense that our God is dealing with you in a similar way? At least I can tell you, he wants to deal with you in the same manner. This past year, I have already 3 times received a blessing from friends who support this ministry with their fervent prayers for me and the work Father God gives me. It is Psalm 91, and it has become very special to me because God has shown himself to me just as it is written in there. He is the same for all of us. And you can see that better as you seek him with all your heart. Here it is. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my safe place and fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the bird catcher and from dangerous pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall find protection. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night. And that refers to demonic torment at night. And you shall not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, or of pestilence that creeps up in darkness, or of destruction that lays waste at noontime. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. With your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my safe place, even the Most High, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall happen to you, nor shall any plague come near your home. Because he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You notice it is not us who take care of ourselves, but our Father does. And I read on. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. My God says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our God never changes. And, you know, he has no favorites. He is just all and only love and caring for you too. It is you he is after. It is you who are so precious to him. It is you he wants to take under the cover of his wings, just like a hen takes her chicks under her wings. Like also Jesus said at one time in Matthew 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, just like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Are we willing? I like to read this Psalm 91 one more time and ask you to let Father God now speak to you personally. Close your eyes for a moment and visualize your Father as he speaks to you. And talk to him with the same words the psalm writer used. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my safe place and fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the bird catcher and from dangerous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall find protection. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or of pestilence that creeps up in darkness, or of destruction that lays waste at noontime. 1,000 people may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. With your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my safe place, even the Most High, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall happen to you, nor shall any plague come near your home, because he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. My God says, because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on high, because you have known my name. You shall call upon me, and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Oh, what a wonderful place to be under Father's wings, safe, secure, at peace, and Satan cannot touch you anymore either. I have a suggestion. It comes from an old experience I had through my old-time pastor. He suggested that we together whisper softly the name of Jesus. And I often still do that and have the most wonderful experience. We are created to praise our God and Father, and as we do, something special happens in our heart. Would you whisper it with me? Let's do it together, okay? Jesus. And again, Jesus. And again, Jesus. Jesus. Let's raise our hands to him and worship him now. Jesus. Oh, how wonderful you are. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.